We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Well, good morning. Tomorrow is election day, so let's get right to our very special guest from the free state of Florida, my governor and America's governor, Governor Ron DeSantis. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. You know, I hope that these two state constitutional amendments 3 and 4 will fail in Florida. Let's start with Amendment 3. This is to legalize recreational marijuana. There's so much in this that is bad for the state of Florida. What do voters need to know?
Well, first, just when you approach a constitutional amendment, just keep in mind this is permanent. You're already hearing Amendment 3. People say, oh, yeah, the legislature can fix it. No, you can't. You can't legislate changes to a constitutional amendment. So your default should be with these amendments, no. The people that are proposing it, they have a burden to prove to you beyond any shadow of a doubt why this would be good for the state of Florida. And with Amendment 3, you should also ask, how did it get on your ballot? Did it just show up, just fall out of the trees? No, this is being sponsored by a massive mega marijuana company. The text was actually written by the CEO of that company. That one company has put over $140 million into passing this. Why? And what I'm going to say, you can't get just on the ballot. You have to read the actual text of the amendment, which they do not include on your ballot. It's a summary that the company wrote. What does it do? Well, it does provide, so it's a partial legalization. It gives you a right to possess and smoke up to 3 ounces of marijuana, which is a lot more than California and Colorado, but only if you buy it from them. So they create a weed cartel. They don't authorize you to grow your own, and then they give themselves total immunity from civil liability. And so this is they wouldn't have put $140 million into this unless they had a payoff on the back end. So they're guaranteeing themselves a revenue stream and hijacking Florida's constitution to do it. Now, some people say, hey, free state of Florida, you know, let people do what they want. First of all, I don't really care what people are doing in the privacy of their own home, but this is not about freedom, because if it was, the first thing they would have said is you can grow your own. They're not doing it. It's about corporate profits. But also, we have to be mindful of the freedom of Floridians who don't want to be involved in marijuana. And the fact is, this amendment has zero limitations on public smoking of marijuana. We've seen Denver get overwhelmed, San Francisco, Manhattan, all these places where it just permeates these cities. That would absolutely happen here in the state of Florida. So you should have the freedom as a Floridian to breathe clean air, to walk down the street, to go to a restaurant without having marijuana intrude upon you. And they did this for a reason. They're trying to make money. And so it's an easy no, because even if you like marijuana, you see it for what it is as a corporate power grab, you vote against it. If you're indifferent to marijuana, you understand this is inappropriate to use in the Constitution and that this will impact our public spaces. And then, of course, if you're against marijuana, it's an easy no as well.
Yeah, and public spaces are, to me, a very big deal. I'm very much against it. I came from Colorado, and I've seen the damage that it has done there. You can't go anywhere in Denver without smelling it. And for parents of kids as well, I mean, this is something that will impact even potentially school spaces, public parks.
So if you read the text of it, it's an unfettered right to possess and smoke, not to grow your own, but to possess and smoke. And so there's no limitations. And it says in the text of the amendment that there can be no sanctions or penalties whatsoever, or civil liability. So the question is, if you were going on an elementary school with, you know, 30 joints, would they be able to have you leave? Well, if you can't penalize somebody, it's awful hard to enforce anything. So whatever's happened in Colorado, whatever's happened in California, whatever's happened in New York, and I think most people say it's been a mistake the way it's worked in those areas, but this is going to be tenfold, because this is written so horribly that is going to make it virtually impossible to limit this in all aspects of our life. And it's just sad that, you know, the text of the amendment is not actually on the ballot. You got to go online to be able to do. Not a good way to do business, I think, the way Florida handles this, just as a matter of procedure. But yes, this will be something. And then on kids, what happens is these weed companies will make these gummies, they'll make these other things, and it's packaged in ways that look like candy, like Sour Patch Kids or some of these other things. That ends up getting in circulation with very young people. And so there was a commercial that was run against Amendment 3 talking about, where it was an ER doctor from California talking about how she's now seen a rash of these very young kids coming in who are using these gummies, and they have real serious problems. And so I don't think anyone can look at Amendment 3 and say it would be good for children in Florida. Of course it wouldn't be good. It would definitely be harmful. We can argue about the scope of the harm, but there is no scenario where kids in Florida are better off for passing Amendment 3.
Well, let's hope that Floridians will vote at least for the children and not for their own license and for corporate greed. But Governor Ron DeSantis, my special guest this morning, I'm so grateful that you are joining American Family Radio today. So let's turn to Amendment 4. This is about basically taxpayer-funded abortion on demand until the moment of birth, the most extreme state constitutional amendment, I think, on the ballot anywhere. This is very dangerous for Florida as well.
Yeah, and it's written very cryptically. They don't define a single term in the text of the amendment at all, which has been the standard practice. So there's no definitions. And again, if you're a constitutional amendment, don't you have the right to have certainty about what this is going to do? And they don't even do you that. So that in and of itself is a reason to vote no. Even if you're not pro-life, that's a reason to vote no. You also have, what does this actually do? Well, it authorizes abortion effectively at any time in the pregnancy through 9 months. But at a minimum, elective abortion 6 months in, no questions asked, funded by taxpayers. Now, there's a loophole in that basically lets it go to 9 months. And the dangerous thing about that, which I think is even more extreme than Colorado, California, Minnesota, some of these states, is if you read the text of it, it says a health care provider can green light a late-term abortion, not a doctor. So obviously a doctor would be included in health care provider, but health care provider, that's a specific phrase they chose. That's much broader than just being a medical doctor. So what you will end up having are non-physicians that will be quarterbacking these abortion clinics, green-lighting abortions, elective abortions up until birth, effectively, and yes, eventually funded by the taxpayer. But that kind of goes against the entire argument because, look, I know people that are not pro-life. A lot of them don't want to see a lot of abortions. They think it's a bad thing, but they say, look, they don't want legal protections for the unborn because they think it's a decision between the mother and the doctor. Mother and the doctor. Well, this says doctors can be cut out. You wouldn't even need to have a doctor. So how crazy is that? It also eliminates Florida's parental consent for minors. And so in Florida, they wouldn't be able to give your kid a Tylenol without parental consent, as it should be. But somehow your minor child can go and have a late-term abortion green-lit by a non-physician without your consent. And what they do is they do a bait and switch in the amendment. They talk about you can have parental notification, but notifying a parent that this is happening is not the same as a parent consenting to it happening. So that would repeal rights for parents. And I just think people look at that and they're like, this is crazy that you would take that away from parents, but that's exactly what they do. And then finally, the taxpayer funding in Michigan, they went in and sued for taxpayer funding with a similar amendment. They will do that in Florida. They will find a liberal judge, and that will end up happening. And so this is a really bad amendment. If you're pro-life, it's an easy no. But even if you're not, I don't think most people who may be a little bit more ambivalent about sanctity of life honestly think these policies that are embedded in this are good, and they have no business being in a constitution.
And Governor, you've been going around the state educating people on these topics, because this isn't just about freedom and choice. This is about understanding the actual language in the text. So Florida has over a million new Republican registered voters comparatively. I mean, you've done such an excellent job for the state, making it even more red, more conservative. So where do these amendments stand, at least in your estimation, in terms of either passing or failing as we are one day out from the election?
Well, I think Amendment 4 is in real, real trouble, because I think they've basically lied to people. The commercials they run talk about women who are raped. They talk about miscarriages. They talk about all these things, which have nothing to do with Florida law. And they act like, oh, well, this is what you have to vote Amendment 4 to stop, you know, this stuff from happening. They're even running ads about Ohio and all these other states, which, you know, doesn't make any sense. And so, and then there's been an effort by the state to correct the record, both through provider announcements, but also through public service announcements saying, hey, here's Florida's Heartbeat Protection Act. Here's what it does. Here are the exceptions. There's nothing in Florida law that would ever prevent a physician from providing necessary medical care to an expectant mother. That is just totally, that's a lie. And they're doing this around the country. We've actually been the ones to fight back. And I think as people see that, they realize these are lies, and I don't think it's gone over well. And I think marijuana has also lost a lot of altitude, because as people see who's behind it, what it actually does, they're like, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. There's no limitations on public use at all. They're giving themselves total immunity from civil liability. So I think my sense would be that abortion would probably perform worse than the marijuana was. I think both will fail to get 60. But look, people got to go out there and vote, and make sure you're voting no on both of these amendments, because certainly these both have the potential to be pretty close.
Make sure you are going out today in Florida voting no on Amendments 3 and 4. And last question, Governor DeSantis, I know everyone is wondering, what's your prediction on the presidential race?
Well, down in Florida, I can tell you that Donald Trump will overperform what he did in 2020 in the state of Florida. It'll be a strong Republican victory, and I think that'll trickle down to, you know, the legislative chambers and everything else. It's hard for me to get a sense on kind of what's going out in the rest of the country. You know, you see all these polls flying around, but I do think this, fundamentals are on our side. Biden's been a failed president. Kamala Harris is his vice president, and she has had opportunities to distance herself from him and talk about what she could have done differently or what she would have done differently, and she can't bring herself to say anything. And so I think voters look at that and say, okay, we want to change. Kamala's trying to say she's for change and turning the page, but in reality, she would just be a carbon copy of Biden's policies. And so I think that gives, you know, Republicans the edge. But I'm very confident about Florida. We're holding down the fort here, especially if these two amendments go down. We'll have a great night in the Sunshine State.
Yes, we will. And we are so grateful that you are our governor here in Florida. And I know that you have people around the country who are praying for you and thankful for your leadership, your Christian faith, and standing in the gap for the fights that really no one else is willing to fight. And I hope that other governors see that and take your lead. So, Governor Ron DeSantis, thank you so much, and keep up the good fight. Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
All right. Well, thanks so much to Governor Ron DeSantis from the Free State of Florida. And as he said, Florida, you need to get out and vote no on Amendments 3 and 4 today. Understand what is on your ballot. Make sure that you are educated on the issues. You know how you're going to vote before you fill out your ballot. But the most important thing is to go out and vote your values. Go out and vote for truth, for the biblical worldview, and make sure that you are exercising your duty and obligation as a Christian living in this society and with the blessing of liberty that we have to select and prefer not only our leaders and those that we elect into the offices from president all the way down ticket and local, but also how we shape our society and our communities. And those are some of these ballot initiatives like Amendment 3, the legalization of marijuana, Amendment 4, the state-funded abortion on demand, these extreme amendments that are bad for our communities in so many different ways that you just heard the governor describe. So we will be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning, but make sure that you are going out voting and also pray for our nation.
Truth with love. This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
So joining me now is Pastor Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in what was formerly the great state of California, but it's still great because he's there, you know. So you're going to make California great again, Pastor Jack. But thanks so much for joining this morning ahead of the election.
Listen, Jenna, thank you. And guess what? I think people are going to be surprised, Jenna, with the results of California turnout and what might happen here, because we have seen an amazing groundswell of pastors, Christians, concerned citizens. So we're excited. It just might be the great state of California sometime soon, I pray.
I pray that too. And wouldn't that be amazing if in 2024, instead of seeing so many Christians sitting out, that Christians would stand up firmly in all of their states and not say, like, well, hey, I live in California, it won't matter anyway. Well, if that's your attitude, then of course it won't matter because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So regardless of whether you live in Florida like me, or you live in California, New York, Colorado, Texas, I mean, whatever it is, Christians have a duty and obligation to steward our blessings of liberty. And part of that is actually engaging with our vote and selecting those in leadership over us. And Pastor Jack, you had a message a couple of weeks ago, and this was actually featured in an article. And the title is Jack Hibbs, Am I Telling Christians It's a Sin Not to Vote? Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. What are you telling your congregation?
Listen, it's always a sin for a Christian to not do good when they have the opportunity. For example, the book of James tells us, for him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so it's come down to this vote. We have got two candidates that people need to really stop expecting some sort of angelic performance from, and you need to get down to the basics. Number one, from tragically, my state, we know Kamala Harris better than anybody, is that she is an absolute enemy of the unborn child, and tragically, for the child that's being born. On the other hand, Trump, let's put it this way, he's wobbled a little bit on the pro-life issue. However, I encourage people to vote for Trump for this reason. Less babies will die under President Trump than Harris. You look at the issue of Israel. You look at the issue of our borders. You look at the issue of our economy. Jenna, you know this. It's endless. But why? Here's the question. Why are Christians on some sort of a self-righteous high horse saying, well, I can't vote for Trump, you know, because he doesn't meet all of my standards? When frankly, do I meet all of my standards? It's ridiculous. And to sit it out, Jenna, would be to sin.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely a biblically based argument, and that has been true for every election. I mean, we heard this same argument in 2016 when Donald Trump wasn't really a known quantity. It was more just, well, you know, will he be as good as his campaign promises? You know, look at his personal track record. I mean, all kinds of things why the then never Trumpers opposed him. And, you know, I've always said, Pastor Jack, elections are a closed universe situation. You only have the options on the ballot. And, you know, some of us, including me, County advocated for other candidates in the primary. I mean, I endorsed Governor DeSantis, and I genuinely think he would have been a better candidate on so many issues, but that's not where we're at today. And where we are at today is ultimately what matters, because we still have a decision between better or worse. And we have that on every issue, every candidate, all the way down ballot. And so for the Christians who just say, well, you know, it would violate my conscience maybe to say that my vote is an endorsement, and then if I help to get Donald Trump, for example, elected, then I'm responsible for everything that happens after that. What would you counsel to the Christian who has that mindset?
Yeah, I have encountered that. And here's what I have discovered, Jenna, at length. They're dropping the word, my conscience may bother me. How do I deal with my conscience? I have found this out, because once they define their argument, their conscience needs to be repented of. It's not conscience like the Spirit of God is convicting them. Their conscience is things like, I don't want to face my friends who are pro-Harris or anti-Trump. I don't want to be called out. I don't want to be known for the person that voted for the orange man. It's not their conscience, Jenna, because if we really talk about conscience, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us biblical truth about what we should think, say, and do. So people are hiding like this. It's my conscience I'm struggling with. Just like pastors are, so to speak, or maybe directly to speak, I can't get involved. It's the Johnson Amendment. I don't want to lose our 501c3. These are just cloaks. I'm sorry to say it, but these are just cloaks and coverings for cowards who do not want to make a difference. And this is the end, in my opinion. I hope I'm wrong, but it's the end of the republic if we do not get this election right. Because let's say you don't like Trump. But you know what? You're going to get other down-ballot candidates. You just said it. That are going to be great for this nation's borders, economy, unborn child, gender issue, marriage. Vote red down ballot, even if you don't like Trump. Leave it into the hands of God. So many people are saying, well, God's sovereign, so I'm not going to vote. That's insane. Jesus said, if you have an opportunity, he called it a talent, you take that opportunity and you bury it in the ground and wait for my return, Jesus said, I will call you a wicked servant. Let your opportunity shine. And there's no simpler, easier way to do that than to cast your vote for those who will be most likely to do righteousness. And if you're confused, just look at the two platforms. One's anti-God, one's pro-God. One's anti-life, one's pro-life. And Jenna, real quick, I don't know if you saw the recent Barna poll. That's what I preached on with those statistics. George Barna was commissioned by Kelly Shackelford, and I've got the data in front of me. It might be shocking for some of your listeners to hear this.
Yeah, I've seen that survey, and it is so... frankly, it's discouraging if that ultimately is the numbers, because it's approximately about 32 million or so self-identified church-going Christians. So that would mean people who are actually engaged in at least a building that calls itself a church. You know, we don't know exactly what those pastors are preaching. Probably not as forthright as you. But, you know, but at least people who would seem to engage with the Christian faith, just saying, you know, hey, I'm sitting out. You know, I can't do this. And, you know, my plea with people in just, you know, hours before you still have time to go vote. I have a personal experience, as everybody knows, unfortunately, from all of the headlines of, you know, I could have taken the easier way out in a lot of ways and not had a lot of attacks against me and all of these things. But standing up for the truth matters at every turn. And, you know, people have called me a traitor. Oh, you know, you've agreed to testify against Trump. All of that stuff is misinformation. All I've ever agreed to do is tell the truth. Yep. Right. And when you are more concerned, and this is my lesson through all of this, one of many, actually, is that if I am more concerned about my reputation in front of people who actually don't care to learn the facts and learn the truth, then I am caring more about what man thinks of me than being right before the Lord. And that is what those people who are saying, hey, if I vote for Trump or if I, you know, engage in this, and they're concerned about what their neighbor or their family or whoever would think, you have a fear of man more than a fear of God. Be right in front of God. And as Pastor Jack is saying, you know, don't say, well, my conscience says, because a lot of times, Pastor Jack, I think people say conscience, but they really mean their feelings, their emotion, their heart, which, as we know, if we follow our heart, that doesn't get us to biblical places.
Really well said, and I can't agree with you more. Make sure that whatever your actions are, look, if you claim to be a believer, then you're announcing that you're a follower of Jesus. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a doer of his will. And so thank you for saying that, because the conscience can mislead. Are you conducting yourself in a biblical worldview? And if we do that, I mean, it is shocking, and you saw the numbers. If the Christian gets out and votes for life, just for that alone, for life, then this election is going to be a slam dunk if we just got up. And Jenna, I look, I'm a pastor, so I'm going to say, I can say this as a pastor. I do not believe that the numbers that we see regarding the other issues, even the cheat, if we all got out and voted for our biblical worldview values, that's the issue today. I don't think it's the white female. I don't think it's the black, the Hispanic. I don't think that anymore, Jenna. I've kind of had an epiphany. After looking at all of this data, forget all of those things. If the Christian, whatever gender, color, whatever height or weight you might be, if you went out and voted biblical worldview values, all of those other discussions evaporate because you were such a huge number. But Jenna said it right, 32 million eligible evangelicals did not vote in 2020. And if that happens again, I think the Republic's over.
And isn't that a scary thought? Because then it's not just the judgment of the Lord, but it becomes, you know, as Proverbs says, you know, the wise woman builds up her house, but, you know, the foolish tears it down with her own hands. And that's how I see the voter in America who is a Christian helping to tear down our country and our constitutional republic with our own hands. If we don't engage in some of these things, or we prioritize the perfect over the best in these situations, because we can vote our values. And, you know, one of the other arguments I hear, Pastor Jack, is that, well, you know, if I'm, you know, voting for some of these Republicans, you know, including Trump, but all the way down ticket, who aren't perfect on pro-life, or, you know, I don't know how they're going to be on the board or whatever, then, you know, I'm enabling those candidates. And so, you know, that's not biblically based, because I'm endorsing, you know, the guy who has been found civilly liable for sexual assault, you know, those kinds of arguments. And, you know, my response to that, of course, is, you know, that you're not voting, you're not on the civil jury voting on that issue. That's not
correct.
What's on the ballot, right?
Absolutely. I'm not voting for a pastor. I'm not voting for some sort of religious leader. This is not some sort of a denomination. And then here's the challenge. People are really trying to prepare some sort of excuse for themselves to hide behind. It's not going to work, because God is God, and he's going to settle the score in the end. But here's what I'm hearing is things like this. Well, I can't vote for him because, you know, my goodness, look at all this stuff. Well, wait a minute. Kamala Harris hasn't been caught yet. Okay, she's not been exposed. Most people listening to this right now, they don't know her like we know her in California. And the big thing is this. Either you sit it out, and you're going to have to answer to God for burying your lights and burying your influence and hiding it, or you're going to do what? You're not going to vote for Trump, so you're going to vote for Kamala? How do you reconcile that with God? This is absolutely insane. People, in my opinion, who are not understanding, they've got caught up, Jenna, in a personality cult. Trump, Trump, Trump. Get away from Trump in that word, in his name, and realize that in these other states and in a down ballot vote of red, I'm going to be doing my part to do righteousness. I'm going to be doing my part to stand for the right thing. I want to see America return to the Constitution. I want to see America's military rebuilt. I want to see our borders closed. I want to see our communities safe. What's wrong with people who claim to be Christians who say, oh, I don't want that? And somebody might say, well, I would never say that. Oh, yes, you are, because it's Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's administration, and it's the Democrat agenda that has us exactly where we're at right now. Look, California, everybody mocks it, makes fun of it. Well, Kamala Harris was our leader for a long time in this state and a lot of different offices. So if you don't block, like a board game, Jen, if you're never playing a board game, I would maybe move my battleship to one area or my chess piece to a different to block you. How about, Christians, you take your vote and think of it as, well, I'm going to use it to block evil. I'm going to use it to block the Democrat Party from implementing a pure democracy where a handful of people are going to be in charge rather than a constitutional republic where we the people get to have our say.
So well said. And I'm speaking to Pastor Jack Hibbs, who's the pastor of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in California. And, you know, speaking of people who don't really know Harris well, I think that encapsulates this whole just ridiculous coalition that's titled Evangelicals for Harris. And I've compared them. That's like saying, you know, vegans for hamburgers. I mean, it's literally inconsistent. But you've gone back and forth with them. I have as well on social media. And, you know, for people who say, well, I'm an evangelical and it's actually reflecting my values and biblical values more to vote against Trump, what would you say about Evangelicals for Harris?
Yeah, it's awesome. They called my office the Monday after that Sunday sermon, and they asked this question: did you mean to call us out when you mentioned us in your sermon? And I said, yes. That's all I said to them was yes, because the Bible says, do not answer a fool in their folly. And so you cannot mix the word evangelical and Harris together. It's an oxymoronic statement. It doesn't fit. You cannot be a Bible-believing, Bible-obeying Christian and say that you're for Harris just on the grounds of her life and death, abortion, voting, actions, and her claims to even boost what she's done in California regarding the genderism in California. She's going to do it to America. And you call yourself an evangelical for Harris? Just remember this. Jesus said we're going to have to answer him for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. That is a sobering thought. So listen, don't be confused, friends. You can't be an evangelical for Harris because those are two definitions that can never agree.
Yeah, and I've been so well said, and I've been talking about the worldview difference because I think so many people who are saying this thing about, you know, voting their conscience or they can't, you know, vote the top of the ticket and all of that. You know, I've been encouraged, you know, forget that this is Trump versus Harris for a second and just look at the worldview difference between the two potential administrations. And if you don't label it with Harris or Trump and you just look at what those administrations would stand for, stand against, there is a clear better choice in terms of a worldview. And Christians are called to vote our values. And so, Pastor Jack, how would you describe? I mean, obviously, abortion is pro-life is a big, big, big issue, and standing for religious freedom, all of those things. But in terms of, you know, even things like border security, the economy, a lot of Christians don't think of that necessarily as biblical issues, even though they are. How would you describe the worldview differences between the two potential candidates for people who may be still on the fence, but with, you know, still time to go out and vote?
Yeah, I'm going to really plead with them to do their homework because I don't want to spend too much time one side or on the other side. How about the one and only side? God says, number one, in Acts chapter 17, he's created borders for nations and he's put those citizens inside those nations. God is for borders. And every person that's hearing my voice right now is actually for borders. Because when they go home at night, Jenna, they can theorize all day long and they can talk about it all day long. But when they go home at night, they go into their house and they lock their doors. They shut their windows. Why? Because they believe in borders. So this is actually a really lame argument because nations, the world works off of borders, and Jesus Christ is going to return in the second coming, and he's going to be the king of nations. God invented these things. Every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, the Bible says, will worship the Lord in heaven above because they've been redeemed out of it. So again, this is an argument from no foundation where, you know, borders is not that big of an issue to me. I tell you what, in California, if you spent some time with me down at the border, which I've been to numerous times, you would change your mind. When you see people dragging young girls across and handing them over to guys in a van, and all because the border's wide open, that'd change your tune in 1 minute, I promise.
Absolutely. And this is exactly why, as you mentioned, Pastor Jack, voters need to be informed. And, you know, even though we, you know, are so close to the election now, there's still time. I mean, it doesn't take that long to go to resources that you trust on ballot issues, all the way down ticket. I mean, so many voter initiatives that we've been talking about for the last few weeks and even months on this program, and I know other AFR broadcasts as well, to ensure that you're informed and you don't just read the ballot summary that, frankly, can be manipulated by, you know, either proponents or opponents of a particular measure. You want to go to a source that you trust, but most importantly, you want to engage. And so, in just the last, little bit of time that we have here before the election, what's your encouragement to pastors after the election? Because I know, Pastor Jack, you know, you and I aren't going anywhere, right? Like, no matter what happens,
right,
November 5th,
right,
and whenever we find out the results, I mean, it may not be,
right,
even that night, we're still going to be here teaching truth. You're going to be preaching truth. What's your encouragement to Christians, regardless of what happens, to stand firm in the truth?
Yeah, the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, but that doesn't mean that we sit it out. We get involved. We do the right thing. The day after the election, Jesus will still be on the throne. Jenna, people are not going to like to hear this, but number one, I pray that God would extend us mercy and that Trump would get elected, because I like all those other people that come with him down below, down ballot. But Jenna, if God does not give us mercy, you got to ask yourself, and I know you're a student of the Bible, look at the Old Testament. If you were God, what leader would you give us? I guess, Jenna, what leader do we deserve as a nation? How have we treated God in court, in school, in our country? How have we treated God? Based upon that, I won't be surprised if Kamala Harris is elected, because that would be the hand of God, so to speak, leading this nation into captivity by her policies or the lack thereof. So may God have mercy on America. That's what I'm praying for.
Amen to that. And from your prayer and the prayer of hopefully millions of other Christians around the nation, I think of it like when Abraham was praying, Lord, please, you know, if there are even just a few that are faithful, will you spare the city? And I pray that God still has great things for America to do for him and for the people here in terms of the blessings of liberty for the future. But Pastor Jack, I so appreciate your time and your attention and your boldness and courageousness to stand up for the truth, even when you get those phone calls from, you know, the haters like Evangelicals for Harris. But that tells you that you're over the target. So I appreciate you, my friend, and blessings to you. And hopefully, the Lord will continue to bless America. Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation itself? Much like the abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescue, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. Preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. So as we are heading into Election Day tomorrow, all eyes are on the polls and early voting. And there was a poll over the weekend from Iowa that showed that Kamala Harris leapfrogs Donald Trump to take the lead near Election Day. This is from the Des Moines Register. And This says that the nationally recognized Iowa poll shows Kamala Harris picking up support from women to surpass Donald Trump in the ruby red state he has won twice. So the gender gap is very interesting. And polls suggest that if more women turn out to vote than men, which right now about 55% of early voters are women, then Kamala Harris may have the edge. But according to Daily Wire this morning, on their morning wire, the polls are showing that in all seven swing states, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are within 2 points of each other, so within the margin of error. So it is possible that either candidate could win all seven swing states. So even though the polls are very close, it is possible for an electoral landslide either way. So what does this portend, and how is AI being used to shape the campaign? Our good friend Rob Salvador, who is a GOP strategist and owns a tech firm here in the state of Florida, posted this recently. I uncovered slides showing Kamala Harris is using AI and data firms in the campaign. I've posted about the Democrat technology advantage and a need for Republicans to implement their own tech. The slides that he posted show that Harris is using Swayable and Ground to adjust messaging in real time. So is this effective, and how is AI playing in this race? Let's welcome in Rob Salvador. Good morning.
Hey, Jenna. Happy to be back with you. And yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, so let's start with just the poll from Iowa over the weekend, which was complete nonsense. You know, as you and I have talked about before, there's outlier polls. There's many ways to, you know, collect data from a certain source and then present it to the public in a certain way to try and shape that narrative. So the Iowa poll that came out over the weekend, I think everyone realizes is just an outlier. There's no way that all of the other polls that are out there, like you said, all the swing states, everything like that, show them even, and then Kamala winning Iowa. So I don't see that happening. Republicans are doing good in early voting. Democrats always win early voting, so I don't see, you know, too much of an issue there. But it just goes to show how the Democrats and the left use media and use all these tools at hand to win elections. And going to the post that you're talking about, yes, the Harris campaign and Democrats in general since 2008, when Barack Obama introduced a large tech apparatus to the party, they've been way ahead on technology. And so what the Harris campaign is able to do is use firms like that, like Swayable and Ground, to test their messaging immediately. They'll test sentiment around certain messaging. In the case of the post I made, it was around the border. And it was right around when Kamala had a little surge, right when she was slotted in as the presidential nominee. So it's very important that Republicans do that. I think we're making big strides in social media. That's one place that we should be. But the next thing we need to do is use advanced data targeting, big data, and tools like artificial intelligence to make sure we can bridge the gap and be even with the Democrats in technology, because Republicans win in policy, but we lose in technology and ground operations right now.
And that's really fascinating, Rob Salvador, because that does have ultimately a real world effect in terms of how the messaging then translates to votes. And so one of the interesting things as well that you mentioned from this particular technology is how the Harris campaign is adjusting messaging on and testing messaging on the border in real time. Donald Trump has been a very good messenger of his own, and I don't think he necessarily, he loves polls, but he doesn't need to rely on that in terms of adjusting his own messaging. I mean, even what he did in terms of the PR to go and take Joe Biden's comment about his supporters being garbage and then doing that photo op and basically press conference right there, like in a garbage truck. You know, it was really amazing. And he's kind of the PR master. But moving forward with the Republican Party, especially after this election, how important is catching up with this type of technology and implementing the tools that are available going to be for the GOP?
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head, Jenna. Trump is very unique. He's kind of one of the biggest names of all time. So through his media channels and through his outlets, he has almost sentiment analysis going at all the time. So he is always seeing these messaging and, you know, testing messages and things like that. Trump is one of the very few, probably the only person in the world who is larger than life enough to get past this Democrat tech advantage. But in 2028, after this election, we're not going to have that Donald Trump advantage anymore. And so if the GOP wants to win and wants to compete, we have to put down kind of this base layer technology now, start using get out and vote apps the way the Democrats do, start using big data to micro-target messaging and find the voters that you need. So it's going to be extremely important because we're just not going to get another Donald Trump. You know, he is a unique figure, and there's some other people who are, you know, positioned well, you know, to run for 2028. But across the board as a party, we need to have all those tools in place. And if we don't, you know, we'll continue to lose these elections. And so I do think it's promising. You know, this year we've been using AI and things to help find people to send to some of these swing states to door knock. So we are starting to see that it's being utilized in the party. But if we don't do this now, we probably won't have time before 2028, and then we will lose. So I would encourage everyone in the party to make sure we lean into technology and, you know, make sure that we can win future elections after we hopefully win on Tuesday.
I'm speaking with Robert Salvador, and you can follow him on X at Robert J. Salvador and see all of these things that he posts about tech and how that's shaping this election and future elections and analysis on AI. And I find this really fascinating how the tools of the elections and how the needles are actually moved is very different today than it was even just a few election cycles ago. And we see that even with how many dollars are being spent in social media ad campaign drives than traditional things like even cable news advertisements. I mean, of course, there's always some there. Mailers and flyers, which of course there is some spend there. But the trajectory is going upward because I was even talking to some friends over the weekend that are like, yeah, I see these mailers and I just, you know, I throw them away without even looking at them. But I go to social media to look for information on elections. And so the way that this is shifting, how would you see this kind of balance and the tech shift in terms of how we look at polling when we see that there are the traditional polls, but then there are things like the AI models that your firm and others use that are more predictive, and even things like Polymarket, which I think is a fascinating tool to see the betting markets and some of those things that are kind of shaping our forecasting and indicating for tomorrow's election and into the future?
Yeah, I definitely think the channels are changing a bit. You're seeing a lot more digital ads, things like podcasts, you know, long form conversations, all these different things. You know, you have all these conservative podcasters now with very large voices. So I think what you're seeing is a move to more of a blend of the traditional and the digital. So mailers are still very important. Door knocking is still very important. But you are seeing that there's many other ways to get impressions and to reach voters or potential donors. So it's something like 70% of potential voters are on social media now. So being able to reach them and impact them in more effective but also more efficient ways is going to be extremely, extremely important in the future. So I think the Republican Party has made good steps this election in you know, leaning into those technologies and new channels, but it's going to be very important in the future because, again, right now we have the advantage of Donald Trump, who kind of is known across all channels. But in the future, we're going to have to create our own voice as a party, you know, whether it's across TikTok or whether it's across X or whether it's across Facebook. It's going to be important that we master both the traditional ways of running campaigns, but as well as the new ways, the digital ways of running campaigns. And you're seeing that across the election landscape right now. The people who have a good combination of traditional and digital in their campaign are being very successful. And so that's the model I think Republicans need to lean into for 2024 and beyond.
And so real quickly, and just last minute we have with you, Rob Salvador, and I so appreciate your time. For people who are wondering, you know, where to look for the election results and where you're watching, what do you think are the more reliable indications of the polls? I mean, what do you look at as a strategist when you're previewing what's going to happen tomorrow?
Well, so I certainly think some of the main networks, like, of course, a Fox, you know, has put in a ton of resources into Election Day results. So I think for now, they're still going to have, you know, some of the earliest results, and they're still, you know, they're using data in a pretty decent way. Obviously, on X, if you know, X is really turning into the moment of news platform. So I think there's some good accounts on there that you can utilize to see what's
including
happening
yours.
That day of. In the, in And in the future, obviously, those channels will change. But right now, I still think day of results, you can go to some of those more traditional sources because there have been a lot of resources put into them being, you know, somewhat accurate. So hopefully we have, you know, results Tuesday night. It'd be a shame if we don't, but I'm hopeful that Donald Trump will prevail on Tuesday.
Hopefully. I think we'll at least know where Florida stands, because Governor DeSantis has done such a great job with election integrity here in the state of Florida. And we also here at the American Family Radio Network will be having live coverage as well on air in the evening. So please tune in for that as well. We'll bring you everything. And I will hop on with Tim and the guys as well during that time. But make sure that you are getting out and voting today and tomorrow if you have not already, and make sure that you are praying for the outcome of this election. Pray for peace for this country. Pray for prosperity. Pray for the Lord's blessings instead of his judgment, which honestly we richly deserve, but we'll hope that he blesses us instead. You can always reach me and my team, Jenna at AFR.net. We'll see you in the morning for Election Day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.